Everyone, welcome to the Bio Breakthroughs podcast by Slice of Healthcare. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is the Vice President and GM of Evidence Platform at Medible, Colin Weller. Colin, how are you today?
Doing well, Jared. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. Great to meet you and looking forward to the conversation.
Great to meet you as well. Excited to chat. First things first, tell the audience a little bit about you and then we'll dive in. I think most of our audience is already familiar with Medible. If you want to throw a line in there just to update the ones that maybe haven't heard of Medible, but you'd have to go far to find someone that hasn't heard of Medible at this point, which is great. Good problem to have.
That's good news to my ears as well. So as you said, I'm the GM for the evidence generation platform here at Medible. What that means is I'm really responsible for making sure that the SaaS technology platform that we're building here at Medible is meeting the needs of our customers, and those are sponsors of clinical research. And our SaaS technology platform is ultimately designed to collect, acquire data, and generate evidence. My background's in clinical research. I've worked in big pharma and big biotech companies for all of my career, really delivering these clinical trials and drug programs from the other side. So the last couple of years stepping across to Medible to try and build the platform that enables that data acquisition.
What originally brought you to Medible?
So the opportunity to change the status quo, I think, Jared, and I know that sounds quite a bold and lofty goal, but in drug delivery, drug discovery and clinical research, you know, things haven't evolved at quite the pace that they could have done. It still takes 10 to 12 years to bring a therapy, a drug product, through from discovery to a patient. It's costing the industry more and more every time to do that. Each product that comes through is $3 billion worth of development. And the industry as a whole spending upwards of $250 billion a year in drug research and drug development. And the number of products coming through the industry to patients has remained static, really across my whole career, probably the last 30, 40 years. There are thereabouts 50 new therapies coming through to patients each year. And so ultimately, the reason to come across to Medible is I think we can do better than that. I think as an industry, we're failing patients if we're not able to bring new technologies and new drugs and new therapies through to patients faster than we are today. So when I was still at a big pharma company in my previous role, I started to work with Medible and the platform that Medible has and is continuing to evolve is really targeting dynamically shifting the paradigm of the number of therapies that come through to patients. Instead of 50, we're talking about 500 a year, and that's a lofty ambition, and it's going to take us to do things very differently as an industry, but Medible is well placed to be the platform that can make those types of changes.
And Colin, you recently, in a presentation, I read that you mentioned Medible has a long-term vision for increasing the number of drugs approved annually by something like 10 times by leveraging technology. That is super, super aggressive, which I love, though. I love that. How will you accomplish that?
And it is a bold ambition. And you know, to say let's 10x that number, you know, it's a North Star vision. It's a 3, 7, 10 year mission statement that Medible's moving towards. But we are starting to see real traction towards that goal. So we kind of house that mission within a vision statement of 1-1-1. And we see a future state where clinical trials can operate in a 1-1-1 paradigm. So 1 day study startup, 1 day study recruitment, and 1 year study conduct. And that is significantly different from where we are today. When we talk about that 10 to 12 year drug development program or drug development cycle, 1-1-1 is a significant paradigm shift from where we are today. But you ask how are we going to get there? Well, really, we believe that leveraging the technology and AI that is now available and will continue to evolve and develop at light speed, as we're seeing right now, leveraging that technology at every single stage of that 12-year cycle is the way that we will start to see that progress. And we are beginning to see that in the last year, 18 months. We've leveraged that methodology and that technology specifically at the 1 day study startup, and we've seen significant changes. So the Medible platform has reduced the study startup of our own studies by 50% in that window. The industry standard has been fairly stubbornly static at around 14 to 16 weeks to get a study live. Any kind of technology platform that's going into a clinical trial typically takes that 14 to 16 weeks. And we're standardly now going live in 8 weeks. So that's a first step, but we're seeing validation of the approaches that we're taking. And we know that we can now apply those same methodologies and those same approaches at each stage of that 12-year cycle. And it's not only Medable that's in this. You know, there's regulators, there's sponsors, and we know that we're going to have to do things differently. But to start to see those proof points and those timelines starting to come down due to these platforms and these technologies, that's really encouraging, and we're going to continue to see that progress.
And I love that mindset too. But by the way, the whole 10x mindset, I love that type of stuff. And I think when you have that 10x mindset, you're more likely to hit it too, because you know it's better to be bold. It allows you, because even if you don't hit 10x, let's say you hit 8,
right?
You're still so much farther along. It's just like when you give yourself, okay, there's a 2-year plan and you try to do it in 6 months. You're going to be, even if you failed, you're so much farther along than if you, you know, set a farther out target, right? So I really like that. Now, talk us through, I know you mentioned this a little bit, but you know, how you're making traction in real life today, and I guess what aspects of clinical trials, the clinical trials process are being automated or otherwise accelerated?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and agree with this kind of the bold ambition, right, of the 10X. If you shoot for the stars, you might hit the sky. So you're already taking those big chunks of times. And I think what that allows you to do is to take a different mindset. Instead of that incremental iteration and just throwing more money or more people at the problem, actually doing things differently and re-engineering process. So what we talk about a lot is that, you know, it's easy to digitize clinical trials, you know, simply moving from paper to digital, which is where we've been over the last 10, 15 years and continue to move in that. But actually what we're doing also is digitizing the workflows and digitizing the processes behind that. And so, yeah, this study startup that I mentioned is a really good example of that. So not only is everything digital, but we're changing the way that we're building our studies. So instead of software engineers writing code and configuring the studies manually each time, we're actually starting to use what we describe as intelligent automation. So removing as much of the human effort as possible from every step, you know, utilizing the AI and other software capabilities that are commonplace now really around in software companies to make sure that we're starting from standard modules that can then be configured rather than customized, which not only takes out that human time, it also increases quality of build through repeatability, and ultimately then increases the quality of the data set, which is what we're really here to deliver. We're not just here to deploy a technology into a clinical trial. That technology is there to serve the purpose of improving the data that we're collecting in that clinical trial. And so through that standardization, through the process improvement, and through the intelligent automation, we're starting to see that payoff.
You know, a hot topic recently, right, is around digital and decentralized clinical trials today. It seems like any article you read is going to mention that, right?
Yeah.
Regulators seem to be embracing that model and are starting to provide more guidance around it. But talk me through kind of the next phase of clinical trials. Like, where do you see these digital clinical trials? Where do you see it going, let's say, over the next 1 to 5 years?
Yeah, great question. And so, like you say, I think digitized trials, decentralized clinical trials, you know, we've actually been talking about them for a long time. I think, you know, digital capabilities in clinical trials is nothing new. That was obviously exploded through the pandemic and the way that we had to deploy clinical trials when people couldn't attend an in-person visit and a physical site location. And you just mentioned regulators. So really what has shifted in the last 18 months or so is that the FDA and EMA and other regulators around the world are massively embracing these patient-first digital capabilities because they see them as improving the patient experience in a clinical trial. They see them increasing the speed of clinical trials, helping with the data quality, and also increasing access to clinical research as a whole. And yeah, absolutely. As you say, every paper in this space at the moment talks about this, but you know, there's been a number that show the possibilities now with the technology that exists. So we've seen the regulators shift their position. We've seen the technology continue to evolve to a point now where almost all of the data collected within a clinical trial can be collected through medical grade devices. So patients don't have to go to a physical location to record their data. Now, they still can, and the physical location for a site still plays a key part in many, many studies. We see actually very few completely decentralized or fully virtual trials. It's much more the flexible hybrid approach that's really catching on. But people's mindset has shifted as well, right? We all engage with healthcare differently now since the pandemic. We all walk around with our health records on our phone. We all interact with healthcare in one way or another through apps. And so the patient expectation of how they engage with clinical research and healthcare as a whole has shifted. So those three things coming together is absolutely driving this change much faster than we've seen in over the course of the last 20, 10, even the last 5 years. And so what I would say in the next 2, 3, 5 years is we're just going to see this continued acceleration, not only of the number of studies that are using digital health technologies, but also the volume of data that is collected through digital health technologies away from a site or at the convenience of a patient. And we just describe that as meeting patients where they are. That could be a physical site, could be their home, it could be a local community practice, but all of those are now possible through platforms such as Medibles.
And, you know, when we look through, when we look out these 1 to 5 years, just over the last 2, 3 years, right, AI has really come to the forefront. Everyone's talking about it. It doesn't matter what the space is, but specifically this space, it seems like it's been in the conversation a lot more. You know, as it continues to develop into one of the most important technology advancements in our world, how do you see AI continuing to help that clinical trial process? Not the drug discovery process, but the clinical trial process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like you say, everyone's talking about AI, and genuinely we see this as game changing for clinical research end to end. Sponsors have been using AI and ML for a number of years, and particularly, as you say, in their drug discovery process. But the piece that has not evolved at the same pace is the operational elements of a clinical trial. So the clinical trial space has remained somewhat of a bottleneck for bringing these new therapies through to patients. And so those are the areas and those are the use cases that we're really targeting with the use of LLMs or Gen AI in particular. So even within that space, there's countless opportunities, patient identification, patient recruitment, data cleaning through the use of large language models. But I think the ones that we're most excited about at the moment are not only the intelligent automation for automatic configuration that I've talked about already, but also kind of taking that to the near future horizon, where you can imagine a future where you can essentially ingest or upload a protocol in a structured format. The large language model can then read and interpret that protocol and essentially spit out the configuration. So essentially automatically coding or configuring the study build. And so that is very close horizon. And then the more you do that, the more knowledge that system gets about the right study or the right clinical trial design for that study and for that program of work for that particular therapeutic. And so then that engine actually becomes a recommendation engine for essentially aiding the design of that study in the first place and essentially almost writing pieces of that protocol based on historic knowledge, based on what has worked well in the past. And so it becomes a much more intelligent tool for clinical research and clinical trials as a whole. So that's where we see this moving pretty quickly. And certainly at the rate that AI is continuing to develop, that's not that far away.
My last question for you, Colin, is kind of going back to Medibles' vision. What is the single most critical requirement to accomplish the vision?
Yeah, great question. So you know, we talk about one-on-one, we talk about patient experience, we talk about patient-centered trials, and all of those things are important. But they're only important if what we're doing is protecting the data quality that's being collected through those clinical trials. And so the ultimate outcome of a trial is a data set that gets submitted to the regulators for them to make decisions. So all of those things have to be built on a robust standard data model. And that's one of the unique things about the Medable platform is all of the capabilities that we have, whether it's televisit, e-consent, eCOA data collection, connected sensors and wearables. You know, they're all fantastically exciting ways to accelerate data collection. But how we handle that data in the platform is the key. And so being able to collect in a unified and standardized data model, clean that data, make sure that that data are robust and reliable for decision-making purposes, not only at the sponsor, but then, as I say, with the regulators themselves. So really that vision of accelerating the evidence generation and protecting the quality of the data set is what excites me most about applying technology and AI to that process.
Well, I'm excited to see how, you know, Medable continues to grow. And I'm so glad that you and I were able to chat and you were able to provide some insights on kind of what's happening over at Medable and kind of a little future outlook, which we always like to hear. So really appreciate you joining us on the podcast here today. And hopefully we can have you come back on again in the near future.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jared. Look forward to it.